I think everything that has been said today was just, I'm going to build on it. I started with Nico in the morning. So I was going to read from 1 John chapter 3. It's a familiar passage, but one of my favorites because it tells me my identity, which we've heard about, but also the pathway to transformation. What does God want out of my life? 1 John 3, 1 through 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be like. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. The first verses talk about our identity. We are children of God. I've discovered, at least from what I see, that the world consists of two identities, children of Adam or children of God. That's it. Now, it says the world does not understand us. Because it doesn't understand God, it works only with child of Adam. And so what it does is it splits up child of Adam into various different components, based on my race, based on my ethnicity, based on my preferences, based on my feelings, and says that's who you are, and will continue to come up with new ways of defining our identity. A Christian who's born again spins out of that completely, is put into a new kingdom, and based on that new kingdom has a new reality, and there's no Jew or Gentile, there's no Indian or American, it's child of God, that's it. And I think because of that, the world doesn't understand it. Even me, it's not Sandeep the sinner, even though Sandeep the forgiven sounds pretty close to it. But the identity is child of God. But to me, I wanted to share what that means. What's the application of child of God in my life? To me, it meant more about who God is than who it meant I was. And I got that from the story of the prodigal son, because this is the boy who blew it, as all of us do. And he's on the way back to the father when he comes to his senses. And the father does something interesting. He does the undignified thing. He runs out, tackles him, kisses him, embraces him. And that's a different kind of God than I had seen. And I thought and all heaven erupts with joy when a sinner repents. Now, what transformed my life was post being born again, when I realized that was not how God responded the first time I came home. It's the way God responds every time I come back to him. And that was game changing. That's the heart of God. God erupts, and he tells all the angels to erupt with him. And so this is the pointed question the Lord was asking me. You are very good at telling me about your regret and your embarrassment and your shame and your tactics of how you're going to do things better. But did you see my face when you came home? Did you see my face when you came home to me? Did you see the joy that was on my face? Did you see the tears running down my face, the Father's face, when I came home to him? And then you have to go through scripture and see, Lord, what are you saying about who you think, how you see me? And this is what the scripture says. How precious are my thoughts to you, O Lord. How vast the sum of them. If I should count them, it'll outnumber the sun. Says the sand. You go to sleep. You wake up. I'm still with you. That's Psalm 139. And then you say, Lord, I blew it. I've done 50 times, 100 times. Surely you've forsaken me. Can a woman forget her newborn child and have no compassion on the child of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Your walls are continued. Behold, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. This is a new definition of identity when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we fix our eyes on the Father. And I realized that this is how Jesus also lived. It was his superpower, was that the Father loves the Son. Therefore, he does nothing on his own initiative except what he sees the Father doing. And so he does in like manner. And it was the superpower of the fuel of God's love as a Father that changed us. Humility is the core virtue of every Christian. Boasting is excluded by the law of faith. But we shouldn't give in to a false humility that says, well, God's a consuming fire, so maybe I should keep a distance. Not when he throws his banqueting table over us and he puts a banner over us that says, I love you. And he says, come and sit on my lap because you're my child. That's the acceptance. And that's the full acceptance that we have. Behold, what an astonishing manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And that we are. The world doesn't understand it. Full acceptance is the platform. But that's not the goal. That's the beginning of the marathon. The goal and the pathway is transformation. And that's what he says in the rest of the passage. I don't know what it's going to look like, is what John says. But I know this, I will be like him because we will see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself as he is pure. It's an interesting, fascinating way in which God says he's going to transform us to be like him by beholding. Now, that's the final goal. But Paul also says the same thing. We, with not any obstacles anymore, with unveiled face, look at the glory of the Lord as in a mirror and are being metamorphosis, transformed from one level of glory by beholding. Have we grabbed a hold of that? That, Lord, the way you're going to make me more like Jesus is as I look upon you, as a gazing. But it's not, it says in 1 John chapter 3, who has this hope fixed, that's stuck on him. And our world is very good at grazing, not gazing. We just have to flick our fingers on our phones and it's a little bit of YouTube shorts, it's a little bit of Instagram reels and it's one thing after the other and they'll give out another app. I don't like the scroll, swipe right. I like the scroll, swipe left. Everything is just a swipe away and we're always just grazing. And God says, the path of the righteous are those who meditate on thy law day and night, who gaze upon him. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. When you said, seek my face, my heart said, oh Lord, your face I will seek. That's a gazing, not a grazing. So that's the first part of transformation. I have to say, Lord, am I committed to looking at you as my hero, the way you live this life, and say, I'm going to gaze upon you. Then, you know, it also says there, then, but what about Jesus that I need to gaze upon? The way he walked on water, the way he fed 5,000. No, it says there, on his purity. Lord Jesus, I want to be pure as he is pure. And what is that purity that looks like? For many years, I used to think purity was the absence of sin. Cleaning the inside of the cup. But I realized that the purity that God is after is much more than just an empty, clean cup. It's a cup full of living water. And that the promise of Jesus through the Holy Spirit was that rivers of living water from a clean cup would flow out of me. That was God's intention for me. So let me apply that. Let's think about my eyes. My eyes, the world is filled with telling me that my eyes must covet. That's in my system. I must lust after my neighbor's wife, my neighbor's home, my neighbor's job, and on, and it's a hissing cauldron of lust. What is the answer to that? Just empty myself of lust? No, that was not Jesus. Jesus, it says in Revelation chapter 1, was his eyes were flames of fire. That was the fiery love that cleaned out all of the lust, but it was replaced with a fiery compassion for those who five times divorced woman, for the adulterous woman, there was a fiery love who said, I will not give up on the bruised reed or the smoldering wick. That's the love of rivers of living water that God, Jesus wants to offer, more than just the absence of lust. What about my tongue? My tongue with my words and my marriage is so easy. Those careless words cost nothing, but it's hell, inside my body, right here. And God says, I want to transform your tongue. Not to be a silent tongue where I withhold things from my wife. I didn't say anything wrong. You can't hold me accountable for anything. I didn't say anything wrong to you. Well, the silent treatment is as bad as a sinful tongue. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. much harder to speak a soothing tongue to in the middle of a marriage fight. That's the call of Jesus. Purify himself as he is pure. It's not the silent tongue, but a soothing tongue. Where do we get that from? It's a high calling. God says you can't do it on your own. He says, I'll send you another helper. I'll send you another helper who will be with you. And it says, who has this hope fixed on him? That's what it says, 1 John 3. Who has this hope fixed on him? And Romans 5:5 says, this hope doesn't disappoint. The Christian hope doesn't disappoint. You know why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad through the Holy Spirit has been given to us. The answer is that the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and says, let me show you the love of God. God is a Father. Let me place you in Christ where Christ is. Where is Christ? In the bosom of the Father, John 1:18. That's where Christ is. He who was in the bosom of the Father, he has explained Jesus. He's explained the Father. Where am I in Christ? On his lap, on the Father's lap, sitting there, receiving his love. And the Holy Spirit says, let me show you who the Father is. But it's so hard for us to embrace that. And he's trying to get us to go from grazing on him to gazing on him, fixing our eyes on Jesus, saying, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. One last word is, it says the word beloved. I have a before and after story, as we've heard in testimonies. My before was when I was walking with in the world, doing my own thing, and then I remember a period of time when I sought to follow the Lord. I sought to search the scriptures and get to know him. That was one beautiful set of memories. Revelation talks about a first love. But there was a much more, I think, or equally important transformation when God blew open my mind to see that he was my loving Father. That was years after I was baptized. When he showed me that he was my loving Father, and he showed me his face. Not that I'm a child of God, but that he's my Father. And I looked upon him. And then I went from saying, when God's saying you belong, to God saying you're beloved. World of difference. Saying I belong says you have a seat. Saying I'm beloved says you have his heart. Saying I'm beloved, God says you're beloved, says you've got his heart. His heart. I pray, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, that I pray that the eyes of your heart will be opened to his inheritance in the saints. God's gain by having us. That changes the perspective completely. That gives us a loyalty and a fidelity to Jesus that I never had before. Belonging says you're permitted to enter. Beloved says he's coming running down the road to meet me and tackling me and saying, you're mine. And I find that my journey is now hearing God call me beloved to saying, Lord, I want to transform from calling you Abba, Father, to also responding by saying, Lord Jesus, you are my beloved too. There's a two-way relationship of loyalty and depth of intimacy between God and me. Eternal life is to know God and Jesus whom he sent. That is the gospel. That's the transformation life I'm in. It's a beautiful life of simply loving Jesus. Let's pray. Father, the bride eyes not her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. We will not gaze at glory, but our dear Father's face. Not at the crown he giveth, but at his pierced hands. The Lamb is all the glory and our eternal stand. Father, we could watch you from afar and forever be amazed at how wonderful you are. But you draw us close to you and the wonder is greater still. And we are flattened. You overwhelm us, Lord. So we rejoice with trembling. May we pray, Lord, may we live our lives with an acceptable offering by laying our bodies and saying, Lord, do with us as you will. We want to honor you. We want to glorify you. May you receive the reward of your sufferings, the reward of what you did on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.